A fan says he got kicked out of a St. Louis City FC soccer game for wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Can the league do that? Let's talk it over with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
So the soccer fan says he was asked to leave Energizer Park by security because he was wearing that hat. The stadium says it was a violation of MLS code of conduct. The Missouri AG is actually looking into it. What do you think? Are they within their legal rights to ask him to leave?
Well, there's several issues here. And of course, as you mentioned, the primary one is legal. Now, Energizer Park is privately owned. City SC is privately owned. And I don't see any criminal violations at all when it comes to dictating or specifying what people can or cannot wear, even if it's politically one-sided. Now, obviously, from a policy standpoint, this may be somewhat problematic for ejecting him because, number one, you risk messing with your fan base. And also there were pride flags being flown. So there does appear to be some inconsistency, but legally, private property owners can do what they wish.
So, you know, I'm really curious if there's no, for example, free speech implications here. I mean, it is, we consider it like a public venue. You're inviting the public into it.
You're exactly right. But there are no free speech. Now, there might be some free speech issues in other ballparks that are built with tax dollars or with federal or state money. But in this instance, it was a completely privately funded, privately owned facility. And at that point, the First Amendment doesn't apply on privately owned property.
All right. On to our next topic. This will probably take us a while. So as we know, Texas Democrats left their state. They're trying to stop a vote on new congressional maps that they say will give Republicans too much power in midterm elections in that state. And Illinois is one of the states that they've gone to. You know, the big question is, can they be forced to return to Texas?
Well, let's break this down, Megan. First of all, there are warrants issued from Texas, but those warrants are civil warrants, not criminal warrants. What's the difference? A civil warrant is one that's issued to compel attendance, to say to the legislators, you're required to be in session, you're not, we're going to come and bring you back to this session. That's different than a criminal warrant that is issued that is designed really to take someone to jail. So in this instance, they could be compelled, but only to a certain extent, Megan, because the only force that Texas has, because they can't go and arrest, Texas officials can't arrest these Democrats in Illinois or New York or wherever else they are. All they can do is issue fines. Now, the Supreme Court has held a few years ago that this is a legal maneuver to issue fines, and legislators cannot pay those fines out of campaign funds. It has to be paid out of their private funds. But the only way that Texas has to compel this attendance is through the civil warrant and for fines for failing to appear.
Now, beyond what Texas can do, as you may know, President Donald Trump has said the FBI may have to get involved to locate those Texas Democrats. Would the FBI have the authority to do anything in this case?
Boy, that's a great big question mark, Megan. And let me tell you why. Typically, the FBI has jurisdiction in federal crimes or at the request of local authorities to investigate local crimes. There's really no precedent for the FBI being used to serve or to investigate civil warrants. That's never been done. Now, there is internal rules and regulations of the FBI that prohibits Department of Justice members from investigations based upon political motivations. But in this instance, since there are civil warrants out there, it's a very big question mark as to whether and to what extent the FBI could get involved with this.
Let's take a step back for people to better understand this redistricting process. Is it different in every state, Brad, how these congressional lines are drawn?
The process is the same, but the results are different. Let me explain that. You have a lot of states who do enormous amounts of what's called gerrymandering. That's a term that goes back to the early 1800s, where you get these ridiculous looking districts that are done for political reasons. Illinois has some ridiculous looking districts, as does California and New York. But then again, so do Texas. And what you see here is in states that are primarily one-party governed, you get these districts that look rather ridiculous for political purposes. Now, federally, the Supreme Court has held on numerous occasions, both under the 14th Amendment and the Voting Rights Act, that districts cannot be carved up along racial lines. You cannot have racially motivated redistricting rules. It has to be politically motivated. And that's always the question when these redistricting situations are challenged about whether they are politically motivated or racially motivated.
All right. Something we'll keep watching. And I live in a ridiculously drawn district in Illinois. So I'll have to show the map to you sometime.
There's a lot of that, and that's why it's called gerrymandering, which I think it makes me laugh every time, because originally it looked like a salamander done by a man named Elbridge Gerry. And so, you know, we think these words like benefer are only recently created, but gerrymandering goes back to the early 1800s.
And I think I've been covering it as long as I've been a reporter.
Yes. Right. And it's never going away.
No, probably not. All right. KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Megan.